I love that song. And you know what I love? I love watching young people sing it. And then I like watching older folks sing it because they're singing these words in faith and in belief and seeing that God has been worthy of it all throughout their lives. It's incredibly powerful to me. Love it, love it. Thanks, you guys. I have a question for you. When you are looking to find an answer to something, could be an answer, a sports stat, could be WebMD, because we all know that that's such a reputable source. You're looking for medical advice, or you're just looking for information. Where do you go? Where do you search? Online. Raise your hand. I'd like to hear. Where do you go? Deanna? Oh. Friends. Nice. Friends. Who else? Grace? Google and check the sources that you're Googling. Smart. Tyler? Brad Cornish. He's not here today, but he is like on star for anything sports related, especially. He knows every statistic. Well, Ben? God? Oh, Claude. Who's Claude? AI. Ah, I should have known. Yeah, right. But we're not getting to the spiritual part. Yeah, right. No, Claude. No, Ben is sort of the person I go to with AI questions. He knows so much. Yeah. Who else? Donna? Alex. Give it up for Alex Mayberry in the back. Dawn has questions. She goes to Alex. Anyone else? He's on par with Brad Cornish, I think. Grace, what else? Grandma. Nicely said. Ray. Your children. Nice. Nice. The older teaching the younger, or the younger teaching the older, actually. Anyone else? All right, well, I search for all sorts of things, especially when I'm watching a movie, and I'm like, ooh, who is that person? Do you ever do that? And you look up cast of the movie, and then you find the person, and then you go down. I go down a rabbit trail. I do that with almost every movie I watch. But I thought this would be really instructive this morning. So apparently people search for really weird stuff on the internet. And apparently this website did this search, the top 10 weirdest search terms found during keyword search was the title. I'm only going to do five. So the first one, apparently a really weird one, my cat wants to kill me. Has anyone ever Googled that? No? All right, nice. Special props, Alex. Thank you for these images. The next one. Are babies dishwasher safe? Anybody Google that one? This is my favorite, I think. Is there a spell to become a mermaid that's actually safe? I like that they included that, right? That's actually safe. So have they tried other spells that aren't safe? I don't know. This is a really weird one. Next one. Never put a wig on a dog. It's a Google search. Love it. And then the last one is the best one. Germany is in what country? Thankfully, these searches show up anonymous, right? So we don't know who's actually making these searches, but they're pretty great. I've Googled some pretty weird stuff too. Love it, love it, love it. But not... I think I might look up, is there a spell to become a mermaid that's actually safe? That one sounds kind of fun. So we go to all sorts of sources when we have questions, when we want to know, when we're looking for answers. But what if you have a more serious question? What if your questions aren't, what country is Germany in? But what do I do with my life? Or how do I navigate this big decision that's in front of me? Or what do I do with this crisis that I'm going through, with my family, with my health, and our country? What do I do? We're all consistently looking for something. It could be as simple as looking for our glasses and where we put them down, and we can't remember where we put them. As simple as that, or as big as, Lord, where are you? We all have questions for God. And the God of the Bible tells us to come to him with these questions, to come to him with our questions and our hopes and our desires and our grief and our sadness and our loss. He tells us to come to him with it all. He doesn't always respond like Google or WebMD or Alex Mayberry with the answers we're looking for. And yet he still invites us to come to him. This morning, we're going to continue through our sermon series that we're calling More Than Enough. And this is like a multiple entendre, meaning that there's so many meanings to more than enough. But it starts with how God is more than enough. He is continually more than enough. And we're digging below the surface to see just how true that is. And today we're going to look at a passage where God invites us to come to him with our questions, with our disappointments, and he invites us to be persistent. Like as a parent, when my kids are persistent, it is annoying. And I kind of turn off after a while, right? When it's like, mom, 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 right? I get tired after a while, but God's like, no, keep coming to me with your questions, with your hurts, with all of it. Keep coming to me. And then this same God makes some audacious responses, promises for how he's going to respond. And he promises that he's not only enough, but he's more than enough for what we need. So the call, the invitation this morning is to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. I'd like to invite our readers to come on up. So Ellie, if you want to come on up and read in Spanish, and then Praveen, you always sneak up on me. I love it. Ellie, you're not reading Spanish, you're reading French. I'm so sorry. Ellie's reading French.
Thank God.
You know what, if you guys, I think this, the verses are on the screen in the back, if you want to look that way, so everybody can see your beauty. Oh, they're there. Yeah.
I searched it.
Nice. Nicely done. Two extra points for you.
Demandez et l'on vous donnera. Cherchez et vous trouverez. Frappez et l'on vous ouvrira. Car si quiconque demande, reçoit celui qui cherche, trouve, et l'on ouvrira à celui qui frappe. Matthew 7:7-8. I forgot my numbers.
Beautiful. Love it. Awesome. Thank you. Praveen?
Jai Bhushi. Maga taba parmeshwar le timi harlai dinu hune cha. Khoji gara taba timi harle paune cha. Dr. Kao, Taba Timiharuko, Lagi Ugari Nicha. Sancheho, Justly Maksa, Usle Poundasa, Justly Kutsa, Usle Betoundasa, and Justly Dr. Kao, Usko Nimti, Doka, Kolinicha. Mati, Satko Satra Art. Thank you, Tanama.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Praveen. This past week, the staff went on a staff hike, and Praveen joined us and Akriti, and they brought their daughter Amber. And I just love Praveen. The more I get to know him, the more I'm in awe of who he is. So just appreciate you, Praveen. All right. I'm going to read in English, Matthew 7:7-11. I'm going to read in the NIV, and then I'm going to read in the Message. So I encourage you to just listen to the words. And notice even in your body how your body responds to what you're hearing. Does it feel like what you're hearing makes you feel like you can breathe? Do you find resistance to it? Something to pay attention to. Do you find hope? So Matthew 7:7-11 in the NIV. Jesus, this is part of his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5-7, he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Let's pause there. Let's go to the Message. Matthew 7:7-11. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better? These are the words of the Lord. I'm curious how your body responded to those. I'm not going to ask you, but pay attention to that. There's some interesting words in here. Ask. To make a request or demand something from somebody. Jesus says that. Ask. Bring your request. Bring your demands to me. Seek means to try to get or reach for something you desire, to investigate, to look for. He's like, seek, and you will find. And then knock. I like the definition of this one. To rap with one's knuckles to signal one's presence. Very direct. Knock. But he says, knock and the door will be opened to you. These words, ask, seek, and knock, they're all metaphors for prayer. But do you notice anything similar in these three words? Ask, seek, knock. Do you notice anything? Their action. Mm-hmm. Dawn? They're active. Yeah, they're active. Anything else? What? Speaking up. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, what's that, John? Yes. Look at you, grammar guy. Yes, they're imperatives. They're commands. He's saying do this. They're conditional commands, right? Ask. You've got to ask, and then you will receive. You have to seek, and you will find, and you have to knock, and the door will be open. If you don't ask, the implication is you don't receive, right? So they're commands, conditional commands. And they're also, anybody know the original Greek besides Wes? Do you know what tense these words are in? Present. Nicely done. Present tense. Which means they're present and active, which means keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. There's a promise here, a very audacious one. That when we ask, we will receive. When we seek, we will find. And when we knock, the door will be opened. So the phrase today that I hope gets kind of imprinted in your brain is to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Interesting. So do you remember, we've been in Matthew 6 for a couple of weeks, Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and in verse 32, Matthew 6, 32, it says that God the Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. So when I asked what your body felt when you read it, it's important to pay attention to that. Because there are times when I read scripture and I feel this internal resistance. I feel and I read my objections into the text. Right? So Matthew 6:32, Jesus says, God the Father knows what you need. And then it says, but ask and you will receive. So an objection I have initially in reading this is, if he already knows what we need, why do we need to ask? Why do we need to seek? Why do we need to knock in the first place? Isn't that unnecessary? Even more, if God knows what we need, why doesn't he just give it to us? Why does he want us to come to him with our needs and our hope? It feels like it's a power move. Or these verses can feel like a setup, right? Like how many times have you asked and then received what you asked for? What do we do with those times and those moments where we ask God for something, we seek and we knock, but he doesn't give us what we ask for, what we've prayed for? There are times when prayer doesn't seem to work. I acknowledge these objections because in every passage of scripture I read, there tends to be objections that I feel. Based on my personal experience, based on what I've seen in the world. And I'm like, so Lord, what do I do with these? It seems like this is pretty concrete evidence, and yet you make these audacious promises. What am I supposed to do with the two? These commands, these imperatives that he gives us, this present active imperative to keep coming to him, they have everything to do with the giver. They have everything to do with the one who is making the promise. What kind of person is hearing our asking? What kind of person is hearing and seeing our seeking? What kind of person is listening to our knocking? And then Jesus, he follows these words with an interesting comparison. He says, if a father, he was human and evil, meaning not perfect, he has a sinful nature, does not always make the right choices, right? If a father who is human with a sinful nature and not perfect knows what his kid needs and wants to give good gifts to his son, how much more does the heavenly father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, for those Bible nerds of you, this is a very common rabbinical teaching, like this process of asking how much more, how much more, comparing God to human or to human constructs or human people. How much more is God than what you see around you? How much more does the Heavenly Father, who is perfect, give good gifts to those who ask him? Okay, so what do we do when God says he loves us and wants to give good things to us? Yet it sure seems like the opposite is true at times. And he says, keep asking, keep coming back, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Let's say that together. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. This summer, Roger and I celebrated 15 years of marriage, right? And when Roger and I got engaged, we went through premarital counseling, which I recommend for anybody who is looking to get married. Roger and I had already been good friends for 13 years. We had been friends for a long time. We knew each other as friends. He was involved with the ministry. I was involved in another ministry, and we kind of just grew together and just really enjoyed each other. It took us, me primarily, a long time to fall in love. But so grateful. But we knew we had a lot to learn. So when we went through premarital counseling, even though we have known each other for 13 years, we knew that there was probably unconscious things that we weren't aware of. So in premarital counseling, part of the focus of it is you learn about your unconscious expectations, right? We all grow up in family systems. We all grow up in cultures. We all grow up in cities that may be different than someone else. And we have ways of seeing the world. We have ways of experiencing the world. We have expectations, right? What expectations do you have for your spouse? What family dynamics, how do your family dynamics affect your communication style? How do you resolve conflict? How do you approach money and raising children? How do you even look at the roles within the household? Who cooks, who cleans, who takes care of the yard, the car? There's so many unconscious expectations, right? And so Roger and I learned a lot about the different expectations that we both have that we were bringing into our marriage. And I would say even 15 years later, we're still learning those, right? It's a lifelong journey. In the same way, I believe we have unconscious expectations of God, some conscious, some unconscious. And these conscious and unconscious expectations from God could be from childhood, what we learned about God when we were kids. It could be from our family systems. It could be from the environment we grew up. It could be from bad church experiences. We all have these conscious and unconscious expectations of God. And we even bring our assumptions and how we read Scripture and our expectations into how we read Scripture and who God is. Whether or not God will provide for our physical needs, like he says here. Will God protect us from harm? Proverbs 4. And does physical healing actually follow confession and prayer, as we see in James 5? There's a quote in your handout that really has stuck with me. You can put it on the screen. It's by the theologian Walter Brueggemann, who I think recently passed away. He says, this is a bit heady, but stay with me. He says, in our personal lives, we conclude that the given dimensions we have frequently arranged are the only dimensions that exist. To imagine a new gift from the outside violates our reason. We are able to believe no more in the graciousness of God than we are in the judgment of God. What is he saying there? He's saying that we all bring expectations and understandings and assumptions of how God works. And it's really difficult for us to look outside of that to see that maybe he works in ways we don't understand or haven't seen yet. My children are growing. I'm learning new things about them that are outside my previous experience with them because they're growing. The same is with God. As we grow with him, he continues to operate outside of our previous experience with him, and he expands. And it's really difficult for us to imagine that. So there's a video I'm going to show you here. It's a video clip from the Celebration Archives. And it illustrates how we place our expectations, our parameters around how we think God works, or how we think he should work. It addresses how we believe God hears us and answers us. And he shows us that he hears us and answers us in ways we don't always expect or realize we're looking for. So this is from the movie Bruce Almighty, if you could show that.
Okay, God, you want me to talk to you?
Talk back. Tell me what's going on.
What should I do? Give me a signal. I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. Ah, what's this Joker doing now? Okay. All right. I'll try it your way. All right. Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life. What the hell? Yeah. I got you.
Sorry, don't know you. Wouldn't call you if I did.
Good one, good one, good one. Thank you, Alex. So Jim Carrey's character is looking for a sign. It's comical and sad and all mixed up. What signs were there that he did not see? Caution ahead. Stop. Yeah, that truck filled with all the different stop signs. Yeah. Wrong way. Yeah. What about the pole he ran into? Perhaps that was a sign, right? A light pole. Yeah. Interesting. And then what did he hear at the end? Do you guys know? A pager. That's what that was. It was kind of pre-cell phones. Yeah. Got a pager. And what did he say? I don't recognize that number, and I wouldn't call it if I did. Do you see where I'm going here? This clip is funny in part because Jim Carrey misses all the signs. How God is answering his prayers. It's a quite human response where we have this, as Brueggemann said, this dimension of how we think that God should respond and how we think he should answer. And we can't see what else is, the other ways he might be responding or answering. And we see all these answers to Jim Carrey, but he's oblivious to them. The reality is we are never going to be able, this side of heaven, fully understand God, and probably in heaven either. We won't be able to fully understand him because he is infinite and we are finite. He is unlimited. We are limited. The lenses we wear to look at life, to experience God, and how we read scripture, they're murky. The lenses or glasses, they're murky and cloudy at best, right? And no amount of Windex or window cleaner is going to make them completely clear to give you an unobstructed view of the infinite holy God. So we come to prayer with hope. We come to prayer with mystery. We don't fully understand how he works. He says he's a good, good God. We believe that, but we're just not quite sure what that means sometimes. And we come with uncertainty. Is he going to answer this prayer the way that we hope he will? We bring our questions, we bring our searching and our doubts to God and trust that he will meet us there. And over time, I have firmly come to believe that doubt, when directed at God, is not the absence of faith, it's the presence of faith. Certainty is the opposite of faith. We come to a mysterious God with our finite selves and we offer ourselves to him. I don't understand. So we keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom sayings. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. It doesn't say he will make your paths easy. It doesn't say he will make your paths flat. I like the King James because that's how I first learned this verse. It says he will direct your paths. And Timothy Keller, the Presbyterian minister, said this, God will either give us what we ask for in prayer or he will give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. So when God says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, he will either give you what you ask for in prayer or give you what you would have asked if you knew everything that he knows. When I tell my children, no, you can't eat that sixth piece of candy because your teeth are going to run out, it doesn't feel good in the moment, right? But if they knew what I know about long-term dental health, maybe they wouldn't ask, right? Do you see that comparison there? That God knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. I also think that in this clip, I think, again, it's who do we direct our anger and lament to? I believe that when we direct our doubts and our lament and our anger towards God, I believe it is an act of great faith. We see it in the Psalms. Jim Carrey, he cried out, his character cried out to God, and he cried out with the assumption that perhaps this God hears him. Why cry out to God if you don't believe in God or believe that he hears you? He cried out to God in the way that he thought. It was a cry of lament. Lament, I believe, is a very hopeful act. When it's directed to God the Father, and we acknowledge our painful reality before him, somehow we trust and we believe that he hears us, that you and I, as finite human beings, somehow matter to an all-holy God. He says, come to me. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door. It's almost like they're graduated levels of intensity and urgency. He's like, bring it. It's the prayer of hope when all evidence points to the contrary, that God sees you and hears you and is moving in ways you can't see or wouldn't expect. I recently came across a writer by the name of Lindsay Holyfield, and she writes about her own journey of faith to Jesus, then away from Jesus, then back to Jesus, all while she is navigating her own horrific journey with eating disorders. And she says, what is the gospel if not the proclamation that the maker of the universe entered time and history to reclaim the beloved creation, a creation that is still suffering under its bondage to forces stronger than itself? Therefore, what is my small story of bondage to addictive behaviors, if not a small-scale version of this larger cosmic narrative? I believe, she goes on to say, I believe that there is a stubborn, bloodied hope that offers something of actual substance to the one in the trenches. In fact, I believe this gospel news is the only thing that can offer substantive flickers of light in those dark places. What God is doing on a cosmic level, bringing his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, he's bringing it here. We experience it in a smaller way in our own lives, and he is working to make things right, but the story isn't finished yet. And when he says, ask, seek, and knock, he says, bring your, it's like this stubborn, bloody hope. I love that visceral language. Bring it to God. Those moments when you're barely holding on, and then those moments when you're running to him, bring all of it to him. Keep bringing it to him, because he, the kingdom of God, is at work and is present and does bring light into those dark spaces, into those places of hopelessness, into those places of despair, into those places of disillusionment, into those places of weariness. That's the gospel. The kingdom of God has entered in. When we pray, sometimes we pray with a grounded hope. We feel confident. And sometimes a stubborn and bloodied hope that God is still working to make things right. And we believe that his kingdom power is the light in our dark places. That there's no place, as we see in Psalm 139, there's no place so dark that he cannot enter into it with his light. That he is all powerful and he can bring his light into even those places. So we bring him our requests. We bring him our searching. We bring him our knocking on the door, trusting that our good, good God will answer. God will either give us what we ask for in prayer or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. So the call today is to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because it's the giver that you're appealing to. And he's not only enough, he's more than enough for what you need. So I want to give you a few moments to sit in this space and to reflect. Maybe in just a moment, Alex, if we could maybe put just a little bit of music on. In what ways do you need to trust that God sees you and hears you? That he will give you what you ask for in prayer, or that he will give you what you would have asked for if you knew what he knows? What do you need to ask, seek, and knock for today? Let's just sit in this space for a few moments. You can use your handout to write it out, or just sit in this space and see what surfaces. All right, if we could play some music, and we'll just sit in silence for a few moments. Lord, we confess how often we come to you with our limited understanding, and you tell us to come to you. Lord, I pray that you would expand our hearts and expand our minds as we come to you to see that perhaps you're up to something that we don't get, that you would give us the courage to keep coming to you, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. I pray that you would open our eyes to see how you are answering our prayers and meeting us where we are. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the expanded way in which you move. Thank you, God, that you are God who hears, a God who was moved to compassion by the prayers of his people, that you, the God of the universe, call yourself our good, good Father, and that you give good gifts to your children. Lord, we thank you. Help us, give us the courage and the strength and the stubborn, bloodied hope to keep seeking, to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to shift gears, and we're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to ask, knock, and seek together as a community. And what we're doing is a little delicate. So I'd actually would like to ask you to turn off the live stream, if you could. So those of you watching at home, thank you for worshiping with us, and we'll see you next week.